So we're in our series, as Don mentioned earlier, How Now? How now in the collective? How now in the individual life? What's next for us? Last week, we looked at, in the first of this series, coming in closer to the divine. And today, we're clearing the path. Because you got to clear the path, right? So we can see clearly. So one of the ways that we can clear our path is in the physical, right? That can really be helpful when we're talking spirituality, to grasp onto something physical that we can actually work with and let the actual stuff get out of the way. Some of you may have heard of the KonMari method, popularized by Marie Kondo. Anybody heard of Marie Kondo? Yes. She has a program, I think it's still on Netflix, called Tidying Up, and a book. And the method, basically, what Marie does is when a client hires her, she goes into their home, and the first thing she does is she finds the center of the home, and she sits down and meditates. So she holds that space, she opens to the space, you know, and begins to clear in that way and to connect with the space itself. And then she brings the clients, and usually she starts with clothes. And she says, take everything out of the closets and drawers and put it on your bed. And you should see some of the pictures, right? Sky high mountain, which is why she does it. So you can see, like, whoa, I do not need that many pieces of clothing. You know? And then she has you take each one. And for each one, you ask the question, does this spark joy? Yeah, maybe it did at one time. Maybe it never really did. And then we bless it, give thanks for its service, and put it in the release pile. So it's this very sacred spiritual process of letting go, of opening up space and seeing. We know, I know all of us know from one time or another, from clearing a space, whether it was clearing off your desk or clearing out a drawer, that it does tend to open up energy, free energy. Or as we were talking between services, Lisa was saying, I just moved furniture and it feels so much better the way things flow. So these things can happen for us, and even while we're physically decluttering, you probably have experienced this too, not only is there a mental clarity, but sometimes you come across old sentimental things, like pictures or something somebody gave you, or a family heirloom of some kind, or if you were like me, I used to keep like every note ever passed to me in school, and every letter, I have this attachment to the written word. And so it's like recognizing at some point, no, I do not need my report card from second grade anymore. And so it's, you know, when we recognize it, but there also may be some kind of emotional connection, my point is, with that. And so there's also can be an emotional clearing, right? A letting go, maybe even some tears for some connection you might have to somebody's words or pictures and memories that come up. So there's that process, and if you, as I'm talking about it, are starting to feel that clench, right? Like, oh, I do not want to go through my stuff, right? Maybe because it feels overwhelming, or maybe because there's a deeper underlying thing going on that's causing that attachment. It might be, you know, for pack rats and even hoarders, that there is stuff there to block intimacy. What we talked about last week, intimacy is into me see. So maybe you won't be able to see into me if there's a bunch of stuff in the way, right? And so therefore you won't get closer and then I won't get hurt. Or perhaps that is something that is just a hanging on because there's not quite enough. Right? There's an idea in your mind that there's not enough or there won't be enough. And so for the rainy day, I got to stockpile stuff. Clearing our physical path then is a step forward to clearing all of us, to opening up the way so spirit can move, so we can be in that divine flow. And you know, you might ask yourself then as you're doing spirit or more mental and emotional clearing, the same questions. It's basically the same approach. What's here? What's in the way? What's present for me? And maybe it's stories you're telling yourself, or maybe it's belief systems you're holding, like there's not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough money. I don't have enough talent. I'm not getting enough love. Whatever it is, that not enough is part of the block, right? Because we know it's based in a false belief, because it's not grounded in the spiritual truth of havingness, of knowing that there is plenty, of the spiritual truth of prosperity in every way. We can also maybe be in the I can't camp. I can't because, or I can't now because, and then 100 reasons why we can't, right? All the reasons why it's not the right time or it's not possible, whatever it is that we throw up as a block. I mean, sometimes throw up, yeah, both maybe, depending upon how deep that goes, right? So recognizing that this then kind of can pile on and create really serious obstacles. You know, we're not just talking about, you know, clearing the path, like the number one a fall prevention rule, which is, you know, move stuff out of your path so you don't fall, right? Holly Reese taught us that last year in her health coaching seminar. And it seems like an obvious, but since I heard that from Holly, it's really more sealed in my mind. So when the dog toys are littering the living room, I'm aware now of picking it up. And it's not just like a one and done, right? It's not like you do it once and then the path is cleared. It's like it's a habit of mind. It's a habit of activity. It's a habit of emotion that we keep going in and saying, what's here? How now? What shall I clear now? What is in my way mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? And it's not to feel bad about ourselves or anything like that. It's just the process of life, isn't it? There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff in every one of those realms. And so if we are looking and kind of cleaning house, and then once we clear some things, we keep it tidy, then things can flow the way we wish them to flow. Georgiana Tree West was one of the original authors in the New Thought movement and connected to Unity. And she wrote Prosperity's Ten Commandments. She took the Ten Commandments from the Bible and she made each one about prosperity. And one of the things that she talks about in that book is that she likens this process of kind of stockpiling the obstacle and creating things we don't want to a train. She says, think about a train. A train is a vehicle to get something to its destination, right? And so we can think similarly, a train of thought is a vehicle in which we send our creative power. And then we unload our creative power in the place that we have decided is our destination. So if we are laying tracks of lack and limitation and not enoughness and worry, anxiety, fear, whatever you want to add to that track that would be on our negativity track, essentially, then what you're doing basically is you created a groove in your mind and in your emotional field. And so all that stuff just keeps getting sent to its destination. And pretty soon you've built Poverty Station. And that could be like a dominant station of mind if we have really, if this is, becomes our habit, right? Instead, we could say, you know what? I don't really want that station because it's not really working for me. It's certainly not bringing forth my dreams or a sense of fulfillment. I'm not feeling much peace of mind, not really attracting the love I want in my life. So what could I do instead? So we begin to release, to let go, to clear the debris, to even tear down Poverty Station as we lay new tracks, as we change direction, as we move toward Prosperity Station, right? And we do that by shifting the way that we think, but first, we have to release what's in the way. So that's the significance of clearing our path, and it allows us then to really get focused on what it is I want and to be in the habit of looking and noticing when something's in the way so that we can move it and let the energy flow the way we want it to. Now, your mind might be protesting right now saying, I have serious things to worry about. I have good reasons to feel anxious. Maybe your mind might be thinking something like that. Brenly's mother was a noted worrier. So much so that even as a little girl, her mother would say, if anybody, and they had a really big family, so she'd say all to the kids, if anybody has any worries, just give them to Marty, she'll take care of it. And one time we were talking to her after we moved here to California, and of course she was worrying about us. And so we were on this conversation. First, she told us about some of the dire family news, and then she went on to the news of the world that was pretty concerning. And then she said, then we shifted to, you know, what are we going to do today? And we said, hey, we're going to the beach. You know, we're close enough. We can go to the beach. We're going to go have a beach walk. And she says, oh, that sounds nice. She goes, now be careful because there's sneaker waves. We had never heard of this. We thought she was making it up. She goes, no, seriously, when you're walking the beach, the wave can come up and it grabs people and it takes them right into the ocean. It sounded so fantastical. I mean, I've since learned that there actually is such a thing. But Brenly was like, okay, we gotta go. Let's get to the beach, you know. She says, Mom, it was great talking to you. And, you know, she's in the Midwest in the middle of winter. She says, don't get hit by an icicle. We gotta go now. You see, when worry and fear are released from our minds, freedom and peace reigns, right? And we know our tendencies. So if you tend to be a worrier, you don't have to be hard on yourself about that. Just notice you're probably going to have to clean house a little bit more often. Develop that habit of mind and make it a regular thing to clear, to clean. Do you want to see what's going on inside of you right now? Maybe see if there's anything, maybe some worries or anxieties, anything we could address. We'll just take care of them right here. How about that? If you want to participate, I invite you to just close your eyes for a moment. And just see, as you drop into your heart, see what's here. Is there anything you've been worrying about or feeling a little anxious about? If you don't have anything, that's great, but you might have something. And if you do, just allow it to arise and begin to feel it, maybe as a statement. I fear, and you can fill in the blank. I'm worried about, you can fill in the blank. I feel anxious about, fill in the blank. And as you say that to yourself and begin to connect with the feeling, notice what happens in your body. How does it feel in your body? What happens? And now let's shift to releasing that idea, recognizing the truth that this fear, anxiety, worry is temporary and it has no power over me. And let's say that to ourselves. This is temporary. This has no power over me. This has no power over me, this fear, this worry, this anxiety. This has no power over me. Say that to yourself and just see how it begins to feel and land in your body. I can give this over. I can let go and let God. How's that feel? I don't have to figure this out on my own. I'm not alone. Leaning into the big spirit of loving awareness fills me and surrounds me. It's got my back. Giving it over. Letting go and letting God. I invite you to take a nice deep breath. One last, I give this over as you breathe out. I give this over. So it is. Anybody notice any shift, difference between the two? See a couple heads nodding. Yeah. Some people are still in process. Jesus said, do not worry about your life. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Of course not. In Philippians, Paul says what we can do about this and when we are in a place of anxiety. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and with thanksgiving, present your requests to the divine. And the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ consciousness. So the promise is, as we give it over, as we pray, as we recognize I'm not alone, that there's something bigger available to me, the very presence of love and wisdom and everything I could ever need, the presence of calm and peace and serenity, it's all here for us. That all is well, that knowing that all is well, all that is available as I let go, as I clear my pathway, as I shed my tears, because that's a letting go, right? As I journal my thoughts, as I walk, as I move, as I sit in the peace, as I sit outside in the beauty of nature and behold the diverse gorgeousness of color and richness and springtime and aliveness, all these things that fortify us and that allow us to leave behind that which we have been holding on to that was in our way. That's what a labyrinth walk is all about. The walk in is a shedding. It's a letting go. It's a shaking off. In the middle is the centering. And then we walk out incorporating what we receive in the middle, no longer having to carry that which we walked off, that which we gave away and shed. And so we're constantly in this opportunity to let go in such a way. Years ago when I was early in my ministry, I had gone through some heartaches, the end of a relationship, and then I didn't really think I was supposed to do church ministry, so I was kind of floundering, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and I feel like I had this call, and, you know, what's happening? All my classmates have flown the coop, and they've started their ministries, and they're so excited, and I just don't know what I'm doing here. And I found myself one day praying in the chapel in the woods and at the village grounds. If you've been there before, it's just this beautiful little simple kind of wooden planked place in the midst of the trees. It just has like a stud on each side. It's just open sky. And so it was like that very surrendered place for me. It was a very, you know, I was even on my knees in this fully surrendered place doing what I call the pray cry. Do you ever do the pray cry? You know, so choking and crying and praying and trying to give it over. And I just realized there was a lot of grief still in the way. And so I wasn't going to be shown my next assignment. That new door was not ready to be opened spiritually because there was emotional stuff in the way. And until I met that emotional stuff and felt it and released it and realized I'm not alone, that I could give this over, that I can ask for help, and then the pathway began to clear after that. But it's in those moments we don't know, will it ever clear? Will it ever go away? Will I ever be able to lay new tracks? Will I ever get to that destination that is Prosperity Station and not just be in this place of what felt stagnant to me? And so, you know, Spirit always has a plan. There's always a divinely ordered pattern to our life that is also unfolding in the collective. And trusting that is a huge piece on the spiritual journey, isn't it? To trust that, to allow that, to recognize that, to fall into that. So realizing that we cannot help ourselves by worrying when we connect with ourselves, notice ourselves worrying or in places of anxiety, and just reminding ourselves, okay, I'm going to let you worry for, you know, 5 more minutes, because this is not helpful. But sometimes we just really feel like we have to. So it's like, okay, let's make the 5-minute alarm call. We can worry all we want. And then let's move into the knowing that instead of wringing our hands, we can open our hands to possibility. We can move forward in an open stance that allows us to receive the good in the new direction, to follow that river of peace that we talked about in the meditation. It's there for us, but we have to do a little work to get generally just ourselves out of the way, our little selves. So the spoken prayer that we say can be very simple. Sometimes I think we get kind of caught up in, well, I'm believing these new thought principles, so I should really do the affirmative prayer because that's what goes with the principles, but I'm not really sure how to do that. It can be so simple, just like what we did in our visualization. I release this worry and anxiety. I know it has no power over me. The fear I'm feeling right now does not hold me hostage. It's a temporary thing that flows through. So just recognizing the truth that we know, it's just saying it out loud. And then thank you, amen. It's enough. If the only prayer you ever said, Meister Eckhart, the mystic said, is thank you, it would be sufficient. And so as Paul writes to the Philippians, it's prayer and gratitude, prayers of release, prayers of affirming truth, prayers of thank you. It's so simple, really. Let's not make it hard for ourselves. You know, John Rexroth, who's not here today, I know he would enjoy this, so pass it on, Linda. He often quotes Max Lasser, who was a former minister here, and Max would say, everything I ever let go of still has claw marks on it. You know how we do, right? I know how I do. It's like, oh, giving it over, surrendering, here it is, let go, let God. Yeah, that felt really good on Sunday morning, and now it's Monday night. Right? Let me take that back and worry about it. Oh, lying down in your bed, ready to rest. Oh no, let me bring in all those worries that I gave over in meditation this morning, you know? I don't know why we think somehow that's going to help, but it never does. Release, release, release. Peace, peace, peace. And seal the deal with gratitude. Gratitude is a wonderful way to shift out of any hole we can get ourselves into, right? In the places of despair, even, we can usually find one little thing to be grateful for. Maybe the tiniest little thing. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's something you see. Maybe it's something you know about yourself or some loved one. Whatever it is, if we can just begin to shift a little bit of our attention, a little bit of our focus on that which lifts us up, that raises our vibration, we begin to dig ourselves out of these holes and free ourselves, where peace and freedom then begins to reign truly. Do you remember Dr. Masaru Emoto's work on the water crystals? Some of you may know it, but it's from science that he would gather people together and they would take a bottle of water and they would write things on it and they would also intend things. So first they tried some negative things, like, you know, one of them, and we'll see in a minute, you just saying like, you fool, like saying some judgmental thing. And then they would take a crystal of the water and look at it under a microscope. And then they would move to thank you. And they would say thank you to the water. And they would just send thanks and gratitude. And that's the difference in the crystals. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, so it's basically, if you look at a lot of the pictures online, you'll see in general, there's kind of a sense of the negativity. It looks like bleh, looks like this blob of like brown and just like really kind of blurry and blobby. And the thank you, love, all these words form these gorgeous crystals that look like snowflakes. And it gives us then that visual to know what we're doing. If I'm laying the tracks, if I'm going to Poverty Station, that's my destination, that big blobby thing, you know? But if I'm laying the tracks and beginning to clear the way, clear the debris, and go to a Prosperity Station with my thoughts and my feelings and my habits of mind, then I'm my destination looks like that crystal of thank you, of gratitude, of love, of beauty. And then we get to experience all the goodness that comes with that. So you might be saying now, I always look for the catches, right? Like, okay, well, this was good, and, right? Because this is what we do, right? This is what I do. I should speak for myself more. This is what I do. Maybe you do it too. And so to recognize, okay, I'm good with me. Like, I'm good with, like, figuring this out for my own mind, my own life, my own, you know I could take responsibility for my own emotions and know that when stuff is showing up, there's work for me to do, and there's ways I can meet it and use these tools, right? But what about this collective chaos stuff? I don't have any control over that, right? I can't make any difference in that, really. Do you have that thought? I mean, even though we might share our teachings differently, it's still like, it's kind of hard to believe when it's really happening that we could make a difference. Well, I'm here to tell you otherwise. Do you remember how Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, would say, faith's role, the role of faith, the role of us folks who are laying claim to faith, is to cast our vision for what it is that is possible, even when there's not proof, right? Into the realm of impossibility, what could be, what might be true, how it might look in the real world if it were manifest, and to hold those visions that seem at first maybe fantastical, certainly to the scientific mind it might seem fantastical, right? And then he says, science's job is to catch up and prove it. And then our job is, once that's proved, is to cast it out further. And so we are always casting this wider net of possibility of what could be true, because we know it to be true deep down inside of us. We know these spiritual truths are unfallible deep down inside of us, but there's a lot of stuff in the way, right? Hence the clear the path. So science has proved this idea that we are all interconnected. So what you do makes a difference. When you clear your own mind, your own physical clutter, your own emotional process, you make a difference in establishing an order in the universe where you might be seeing chaos outside of yourself. Now, it still might feel like a leap. So that's why I want to tell you about chaos theory. So there's three relevant parts to chaos theory, and this comes out of research in the 1960s. MIT professor, actually he was a meteorologist, Edward Lorenz did this work. And the three relevant parts I want to bring forward today starts with sensitivity to initial conditions. Now, we can all relate to the fact that we get sensitive to what's going on in the world around us. We have sensitivity to those initial conditions. We feel it. We feel sad when a place in the world, even if it's far away, goes to war. We feel sad when we hear that children are going hungry. We're interconnected. We feel excited when we hear something great that has happened, some kind of environmental restoration or something that's been created that is really helping people, right? Why? Because we're interconnected. And so Lawrence's work proved that, says that we are indeed interconnected with the earth and with each other. He proved the sensitivity to initial conditions means that small actions change the current trajectory and lead to significantly different futures and future behavior. Our sensitivity to initial conditions and to our interconnectedness is so great that what he found in his experiment, that a butterfly fluttering its wings over the Amazon can affect a hurricane in Texas. That's incredible, isn't it? But it's credible, too, because we know this underlying truth. We've already stated all the time, oneness, interconnectedness, we're all part of this. There's only one of us here. It matters. What I do matters. How I act, how I show up, how I think matters, because it impacts the whole. And so if we're sitting over here and we're watching the news and we're saying, oh man, this is terrible. I can't do anything about this. I'm powerless. I'm out of control. Think again. Think about chaos theory, realizing that the little tiny wings of a butterfly can flutter and affect a hurricane. I don't know how far that is, thousands of miles. That's called the butterfly effect, by the way. You probably have heard that before, or you maybe have heard it before. And the third concept in chaos theory is the strange attractor. Very mysterious, the strange attractor. Gary Taubes writes about this in Discover magazine. He says that chaos has its own pattern, a particular kind of order. And this pattern is known whimsically as the strange attractor because the chaotic system seems to be strangely attracted to ideal behavior. Oh, this is really good news. So if you think about what that is saying, it's saying what we say all the time, right? Underneath it all, there is this force. There is this essence. There is a spirit, the source, whatever you want to call it, God. It is something that holds us in a sense of positivity. And there is this power that we call order that is within all of us, this divine order that is part of that pattern of the universe that knows that there is divine order. So these are the spiritual ideas. This is the Charles Fillmore casting forth to say, this is what we believe. This is what we think is possible. This is out there on that horizon, but we're bringing it in here because we know it as truth. And then chaos theory comes along and goes, yep, proven. It does work that way. Scientists call this attractor energy strange because it appears that things are separating and falling apart everywhere and that massive chaos is going on. But underneath it all is the strange attractor, what we know to be the mystery of spirit. And that is bringing everything and everyone back together into ideal behavior. And what does that ideal behavior look like? Well, we could name it for ourselves. Maybe here some of us might say justice. Someone might say love, harmony, equality, you know, whatever it is that we might be seeking, prosperity, inclusivity, healing. But there it is in plain sight. We've known it since the 1960s. And we knew it long before that because we knew it from a spiritual, grounded, centered knowing. Don't doubt your knowings. This is what happens to us. We doubt what we receive. We doubt the truth. We sit here and we resonate with truth when we hear words of truth, when we hear songs that speak the truth, when we read something that speaks the truth, when we sit in meditation and we receive truth, when we chant together and we feel that vibration, we say, this is the real thing. This is not the dream. This is the real life. The other thing is the dream. The stuff out there is the dream. The chaos is the dream. The sickness is the dream. The disease is the dream. The lack of financial freedom is the dream. It's a dream. It's not such a great dream. It's kind of a nightmare sometimes. But we can wake up. We can wake up from that by clearing the path, by recognizing something's in the way, by realizing that I have the power to flap my tiny little wings with a positive thought. And I can affect massive shifts in the world that I wish to see. It's true we can do it. We know it's true. I know every one of us in this room, in the deepest heart of our hearts, in the truest part of our minds, we know this. We came in wired knowing this. We've always known it. We've known it before we incarnated. We know it now, and sometimes we just forget because the physical density gets in the way. The stuff gets in the way. The mental clutter gets in the way because we're down in this 3D dimensional experience, and we're really like 9D beings or 12D. Or whatever it is, I don't know. We're big spirits. We're big, you know. And so here we are in this challenge. And so we must remember what we've known since the beginning of time. We must remember what we knew since we became a soul, since we were formed, since we allowed ourselves to be a being in this great cosmos, this great universe, and to come to earth to be an ambassador of light, an ambassador of truth, an ambassador of power and love. You came here for this. We came here for this. We must remember. We must remember who we are. The world needs you to remember who you are. We have to allow ourselves to get over the petty stuff that's in the way, to notice the petty stuff's in the way and say, I can't believe my huge mind that is connected to the divine intelligence of the universe is worrying about this petty little thing. So if you are troubled by the world of chaos, if your life feels stagnant, if you'd like to be more aligned with the divine flow of energy, then I beseech us all to trust the universe, to know that God's got this, that a divine order is unfolding, and where you see chaos, to find the places where you can put yourself in a place of peace. Because when you do that, you are like the butterfly affecting the peace all around the world. And as you clear your own path, you make your way in life easy and successful. Let's do this together. Yes? I invite you to affirm it with me. I declutter my home and mind, making the path to fulfillment easy and successful. And so it is. Bless you all online. Thank you.